Friday, February the 11th, marks the feast day of Our Lady of Lourdes, when the Catholic Church celebrates the World Day of Prayer for the Sick. Pope Benedict has issued a special message for the occasion, reflecting on the mystery of suffering as a way of making us more attentive towards the needs of the sick and their carers. One person who has dedicated his life and work to this particular ministry is Father Peter Scott, healthcare advisor for the Diocese of Westminster, senior lecturer in healthcare at St Mary's College, Twickenham, and national healthcare liaison officer for the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales. In recognition of his work, Father Peter has just been awarded the Good Samaritan Medal by the Pontifical Council for Healthcare Workers, one of two British healthcare professionals to receive this prestigious award. I caught up with Father Peter at his parish in Shepperton to find out more about his work in the Westminster Diocese.
It's a very privileged position because it means that I'm more or less involved in the appointment of priests or religious into hospital chaplaincies in London. So that seems to be the mainstay of the work, and that seems to be when some of the more complex issues come to light, when we're trying to put a priest or a religious into a hospital. The hospital itself can be either quite cooperative or they can question what we're there for. And so I work on behalf of the bishops and on behalf of the person that we're trying to get in there to make that process as smooth as possible, but also to make it quite clear to the hospital what the Catholic chaplain's contribution is.
Now, you say that people question that role, the role of a chaplain in a hospital. Is that sort of scepticism increasing as society becomes more secular?
There are two reasons, I think, for why they question it. First of all, there's an obvious reason, which is rationing. So they're thinking, obviously, about how can they make a cutback within their hospital. And they might use chaplaincy as a means to make that cutback. Obviously, then they think, well, do we need different sort of people from different denominations? Should we not just have a generic chaplain who can cover all faiths? And they might try that, not always, but sometimes they might try that a little bit. So you've got to be quite clear and remind them that reality really is that we have different faith communities, and that for the patient to feel safe in a hospital, that has to be respected for their recovery or for their ability to be comfortable to stay there. Then you've got to give them as much support as possible, and obviously different faith groups, and particularly the Catholic Church, to our Catholic patients, provide tremendous support. That's one of the first reasons they might try that. The second thing might just simply be that they're a little bit uncertain about what the church is all about anyway. They may not be Catholics themselves. And so they're questioning, in a sense, with a new sight, what is this all about?
As you say, many of the people you're dealing with, though, in the hospitals won't be Catholic. They'll be people of other faiths or none at all. You can see the hospital's perspective when they're trying to make cuts and trying to see whether you can't perhaps work together, at least with other Christian chaplains from other Christian denominations. Do you do this very much or not?
We do work very well together. I mean, an important sort of characteristic of a Catholic chaplain in an English hospital is that they can work well within a Christian, well, within a multi-faith team. So there's a respect for what the other chaplains from other denominations and faiths are contributing as well. And there's a support for that. So we really don't have a problem, in a sense, from our colleagues about getting a chaplain in. It's sometimes the problem exists actually from the hospital authorities, where they are trying to make an understandable cutback. I mean, again, I have to highlight as well that across the NHS, you know, there are constant cutbacks. So it's not just chaplains who are earmarked to be cut back. Nurses and doctors and different disciplines within healthcare also have to justify why they should be there. What's the importance of their particular contribution to the welfare of the patient?
It is an increasingly difficult area to be working in, isn't it? As the demands of cost cutting, the government demands rub up against what are really the very urgent needs sometimes of patients and those caring for them.
It is, but I think the patients and the staff would actually stand up, or they often do stand up and say that the contribution of the chaplain is incredibly valuable and contributes to the improvement of the patient, or if they are sadly dying in the hospital, actually to their being comforted, consoled, and able to die in peace in that place. So very rarely have we come across a trust which will not employ Catholic chaplains.
It's also true that we're seeing in many places growing tensions over Catholic identity in healthcare, often pitting the needs of pastoral care against religious principles, particularly, of course, regarding pro-life issues. I imagine that you're also called upon to deal with this kind of tension in your daily work, aren't you?
And obviously, yes, and obviously we have to do that very sensitively. And what we'll find, I mean, the best way of actually dealing with that is for the chaplain to deal with it within that trust, within that hospital. Rather than coming from on high and imposing some sort of policy onto the trust. It's much better it comes from the chaplain. So hence that kind of leads into the foundation degree at healthcare chaplains at St Mary's University College, where we, in our diocese, we offer them a degree programme which is all about formation and which is all about, in a sense, giving the chaplain that confidence to kind of be a bit more of a witness to the values of the sacredness of life in that particular trust, in that particular hospital.
The work of a hospital chaplain can't be an easy one. You're dealing with suffering and pain a lot of the time. It's a job that I presume needs its own support network as well.
Yes. So one of my other roles within the diocese is to call together the chaplains and provide them with a little bit of informal formation. So we have study afternoons, and also if I can, and with my assistant, I've got a very good assistant who's a permanent deacon, is to whip round and see the chaplains as often as we can, certainly to be available to them so that we can support them in some of those difficult situations. You know, we had a whole spate of major incidents a couple of years ago where the chaplains were right at the front line of that. And it was just making sure that after that event that they felt that they had someone to talk to who would understand and would give them an opportunity to sort of deal with what they'd seen and what they'd been part of.
When you say major incidents, are you talking violent attacks?
Yeah, you'd have, sadly, you'd have 7/7, which is when we had those bomb attacks within the London tube system, the train system and the bus in Tavistock Square. But also you might have fires and gas explosions and stuff like that, or train crashes as well.
How much of a priority is this work concerning healthcare, do you think, for the church today? Again, the church is hard pushed to find people, priests, to staff these kind of different ministries. What kind of priority is given to healthcare, do you think, today?
I think for the church would admit, certainly in my own diocese, that at the heart of the church is the sick. And the heart of the mission of the church is to serve the sick, is to be there for them. So certainly, I'm certain of the other dioceses in my country as well, it would be a high priority that we would provide chaplains to support the sick. Obviously, there is that sort of theological response that we're giving, the importance of serving Christ in the hospital. But there's also the support on a practical level that if you provide a chaplain in the hospital, you're taking some of the stress off the priest in the parish as well. But I would say very much at the heart of the church is the desire to serve the sick.
You've been awarded this Good Samaritan Medal by the Vatican's Pontifical Council for Healthcare Workers. What does this mean to you? How will it help you, perhaps, in your work?
I am actually very honoured by it, but also very surprised, simply because, you know, I work with such a great group of people, so it's lovely to be kind of highlighted and earmarked, but totally surprised by it. How will I use it? I think it's a wonderful opportunity as we get near this important feast on Friday, the World Day of Prayer for the Sick, is just to highlight the role of the sick within the sort of Catholic Church, that they are the centre of our sort of concern and our response. So I think that's the way I would use it. That's the way I'm trying to use it, certainly within the diocese.
How is this occasion, this annual observance, the World Day of Prayer for the Sick, how is that marked there in Westminster and indeed throughout the country, throughout the United Kingdom?
Certainly within the United Kingdom, churches, parishes are encouraged to have a special mass for the sick. So the sick are brought to the churches and anointed with a special sort of mass of anointing. In Westminster, obviously that's encouraged. We have a central mass for the sick on the 19th of February. We couldn't get it for the 11th, so we've had to put it a week later, in which the Archbishop will celebrate and all the bishops. And we've put out an invitation to all the parishes to send sick and carers to that special mass of anointing. We've been doing that now for 4 years, and it's sort of growing and growing and growing. So we really do have a lovely celebration, a very profound celebration.
quite a counter-cultural celebration too, in a society which places so much emphasis on beauty and health and well-being.
It is, but isn't that something of the witness of the church, really, is to keep reminding ourselves that the sort of reality is that, yes, we have a period of our life when obviously we do sort of show some physical beauty, and then we kind of just go off into a different stage and we sort of take on a different kind of personality and shape and everything like that, which is still beautiful. But we go through different stages, and it's just important we highlight that reality. I don't think it's too counterculture. I think most people admit to it. Maybe there's a bit of escapism in the media rather than a denial of what life is all about.
And also a bit of a fear of confronting sickness and death.
Yeah, it's quite a strange thing. So I think that's quite paradoxical, really, because often in the soaps, you'll see that some of the greatest storylines are to do with someone dying or being, you know, sort of diagnosed with cancer or something like this, and then there'll be a great kind of drama to do with that. So I think on one level, we obviously are quite scared of it still, but on another level, we still do somehow confront it a little bit. I mean, again, you can't really escape from it. It's probably something you don't wish to happen, but the fact of the matter is, it's going to, and I think we're all very much aware of that.
Finally, is there any particular anecdote from the work that you've done over these years that really brings home to you the importance of the job that you're doing, and indeed the work of all hospital chaplains?
Yeah, I think the thing about being a hospital chaplain is that it's not what you bring, it's what they bring to you, what you learn about God through them. I remember a girl called Zara, who was 8, and I was looking after her family as she was dying of cancer, and her family found it very hard to deal with. And she loved receiving Holy Communion, and she one night took her family out of the ward just a few nights before she was dying, and she said to them to look at the moon, and they looked at the moon, and she said, you know, one day you won't see me, but in the same way that you'll see the moon at night, you'll know that eventually you will see me. You know, I'll be with Jesus. And I always remember that was a tremendously honest and profound thing to come out of an 8-year-old, and really just so supportive and loving to her family. She sort of worked it out. So you learn more from them than they learn from you. It's a tremendously privileged role.
My thanks there to Father Peter Scott, healthcare advisor for the Diocese of Westminster and National Healthcare Liaison Officer for the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales.